same thoughts about being able to minister to the people of God and this precious church. Please pray for me. I have many obligations, and I am suffering from a couple different issues, and I keep going. And I praise God for each one of you. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to speak of Him. There is no verse in Holy Writ, or shall I say one of the most significant verses. I think actually the verse that sets forth one of the most glorious truths in the entire Bible, which is the sovereignty of God. Daniel chapter 4, if you'll turn there, verse 35. It obviously says that he carries out his plan in detail wherever, with whoever, whenever, and however. This is an expression of the Godhood of God. Nebuchadnezzar speaking. And he says, all of the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And that is a summary of humanity. Yes. Less than nothing. Humankind, in reference to God, are but circles rubbed out. And then the king mentions two spheres. For he does his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This verse has been a heart throb of me for 50 years. 1967 was when this verse became a part of my life. All of the inhabitants of the earth are nothing, for he does his will wherever, with whoever, whenever, and however. In fact, when you look at David passing the reign to Solomon, he says these words about God that are all indications of this glorious, majestic being. And he's turning over the reins. In fact, it says in the same chapter, 2 Chronicles 29, David died and Solomon became king. Listen to these words in 29:11. The greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty and all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And you give strength to all, he says. Certainly not a picture of the evangelical world of God. But this is the God that is set forth in Holy Writ. What I want to do is preach a doctrine, no explanation, one point. God is sovereign. Amen. He's so sovereign there's not a beetle that crosses a bay leaf in this world whose path is not directed by God. There's not a wandering molecule in history, friend. God's sovereign. He rules, he reigns, he controls, he dominates everything. For of him, says Paul, Romans 11:36, through him and to him be all things to whom be glory. Paul acknowledges that the origin of everything that is God, of him. And then through his precious redeeming son, Christ, Colossians 1, who holds all things by the word of his power. It says, by him all things consist. And this pulpit, a million atoms would totally disseminate if it weren't for the consisting power of Jesus Christ. Right. Everything is in his hands. He holds everything. Wow. And so, The sleeping of the saint is sweet. We rest on the pillow of God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. The greatest joy to tell the sinner is that when he comes to this person, he comes to a God who is completely capable of saving him to the uttermost, because he's ever lives to make intercession for him. What a thing. We think this doctrine of sovereignty is somewhat a doctrine that you can't apply to the sinner. The wonderful thing about it is he's come to a God that can meet his needs, can save him, can redeem him, can keep him, can, as it says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, conform him to the image of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
For whom he foreknew, he justified, and then he will glorify. And in the process is that doctrine of sanctification, the working out of this holy life that is guaranteed for every saint, some 30, some 60, some 100, some mature, some young men, some babe, but we all will be glorified based on the sovereignty of God. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Says Jeremiah 32, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46:10. Having predestinated us, says the apostle, unto the adoption of children unto himself, according, listen to this, to the good pleasure of his will, having made unto us known the mystery of his will. Again, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. This idea of the good pleasure of God is used everywhere in the scripture. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Says the apostle, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Thou art worthy, O Lord, says the revelation throng as they sang praises to God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and do consist. So when we speak of the sovereignty of God, we're speaking about those terms that we all know, such as foreknowledge and predestination and election, and all of these terms determined before the foundation of the world. His counsel will stand. His decrees, the secret things of God, even as the Lord rebuked. If you don't mind, get me a small cup of water. The disciples in Acts 1, when they said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this point? And he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his will. He made it clear to them that the secret things of the Lord, his sovereign decree, are obviously a factor in this universe. It is the factor. God is unhindered, he's unhampered, and he is undisturbed in everything that he does. All of the events, all the happenings in the universe are of him. It is not for us to know the seasons or the times. What is ours is what is revealed. And this is what Deuteronomy chapter 32 or 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed unto us and our children are ours. So you have here this secret counsel, this decree. The eternal decree of God is the unfolding of all of his foreordained factors, and it is in providence that we see him working all things out to the play of his own will. History is but the unfolding of God's eternal purpose. You want to define history? It's God's world, everything in the past he created, everything in the present he controls, and everything in the future is his future.
Amen.
And he will bring it to pass.
Yeah.
And he is your Father. We're not talking about a sovereign God only, friend. He is that one who has put in our hearts this word that is not even a word. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The first cry of a babe. This sovereign God is our Father. And he rules and he reigns among the children of men. Immortal, invisible God, only wise in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, thine ancient of days, almighty, victorious, his great name we praise. He's sovereign. It's a hated doctrine. It dethrones foolish men.
Right.
In fact, one of the most prominent preachers in our country, if I told you his name, you would know him immediately. I'm not into that. The belief that God controls everything that happens to us is one of the devil's lies, he says. Let me tell you, brother, if I didn't believe God controlled everything that happened to me, I'd be in bad shape.
Yeah.
If I didn't have that sense of there is a power behind Romans 8:28,
yeah,
that is such a power that all that happens is for my good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, listen to it, according to his purpose. There's not an event that will happen to you as God's child that is not predetermined on the basis of his eternal counsel. Acts, Peter accuses them. He says, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ according to the determinate counsel and foreordination of God. The most wicked act in history. God was overseeing, bringing to pass, and yet on this hand is the wickedness of men who crucified Christ as they drove the nails into the Son of God's hand. It was God's holy determining factor that brought all that to be. According to the determinative factor, and he says the foreordination of God. Friend, everything that happens to you is of God. There's no second causes. There may be a second cause, but there's no second cause in the sense that it won't happen unless there's a second cause. The sovereignty of God is that biblical teaching that all things are under his rule and his control, and nothing happens without his direction. Nothing happens without his permission. Nothing happens without his allowance. And I don't even like those words, permission and allowance. You know, kind of like God has plan A and that's not working out, so he goes to baloney. There is no plan B.
Amen.
The word chance is infidels talk.
Yeah.
We don't believe in chance.
Right.
Luck, that's pagan terminology.
Right.
We don't believe that. We believe God runs the show. In fact, in North Alabama language, that's the definition of sovereignty. God runs the show. And that's exactly what the scripture teaches. What do we mean by the sovereignty of God? We mean the supremacy of God, the kingship of God, the Godhead of God. To say that God is sovereign is simply to declare God is God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare he's the Most High, does according to his will, as it says in Daniel, according to his will in the armies of heaven, among all the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stop him. How we need to pound this into the hearts of those people. He will if we'll let him. That's delusional, friend. He doesn't need you to let him do anything. He runs the show. Praise his name. You think God, who is dependent upon you and me, who can't even hardly increase an ounce in our own sanctification, how horrible that would be. And yet, people believe that. He is Psalm 22, 28. The governor among all nations. He holds the heart of our president in his hand. He holds the heart of Vladimir Putin in his hand. He holds the heart of the premier of North Korea in his hand. And he turns it whithersoever he will. As the rivers of water. I guess it's about time for a drink of water. That's what the scripture says. If he holds the most authoritative people in the nation, their hearts in his hand, you can be assured he holds yours as well. He is the Almighty. He's the possessor of all power in heaven and earth. Nobody can defeat his purpose. Nobody can thwart him. Nobody can resist him. To say that God is sovereign is simply to declare that God is the only potentate, most blessed and glorious forever. Amen. And that settles it. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. We need to put it in the vernacular. You know, not that God, is a God of fuzzy words that don't mean anything. What I'm talking to you is about not only in, as the Greek, as the old Latin says, de jure, in principle, but de facto, in action. He is sovereign. Not only in principle, but in every event that happens, God rules, God reigns, God brings it to pass. Or he's not God. If he does not possess absolute, complete authority to do his will, then we might as well rip Daniel 4:35 out of the Bible. And surely, Romans 8:28. I mean, how can we say that God performs everything for the good of those who are his chosen people if he's not sovereign? We can't do that, you see. Now wait, we're not talking about the sovereignty of a tyrannical despot. We're talking about the sovereignty of an only wise, glorious, who possesses purity and is nothing but wise and who never does anything except for the good of his children. That's the sovereign God of the universe. In fact, when you start thinking about it, he's infinitely wise. Therefore, nothing he does can ever be of error. All of his works are done in justice. So nothing he does is but righteous. He can do no wrong, friend. When we say the preciousness of this truth, it is that God is irresistible, his will is irreversible, and that might cause one's heart to be fearful. But when I think this is the one who's put his spirit in my heart so that I cry out, Abba, Father, this is our God.
Yeah.
And he is our Father. And we sit at his table and we feast upon his bounty. God does not alter his plans, friend. Why should he? Listen, the word immutable is an attribute of God, which means unchangeable. He has never changed anything. And when it looks like God adjusts himself to the reacts toward all that is the revelation in an anthropomorphic way so that we can understand he has feelings, he has compassion. But behind the scenes is this eternal, unchangeable, immutable God. He is everlasting. If he's everlasting, could he ever decide something that is not from everlasting? Of course not. Think about the attributes, friend. We are but worms. He is all wise. He cannot plan wrongly. Everything he does is perfect. And so, I feel like I accomplished nothing. I felt like that most of my life. And yet, behind the scenes is this sovereign God who takes my feeble attempts and somehow blesses them in my own weakness. And he does you. I turned last night and looked at my precious sister who has brain cancer. And I went to her and I said, Andrea. And I grabbed her hand and she stared at me. And I talked to her. And she turned and looked at her husband. And he had to tell her what I said and communicate for her to me. I think about David Holmes, Friday night a few years ago, pulled out of the driveway after he'd put his invalid wife, Audrey, in bed and got to the end of the street and was hit and killed immediately. One of our elders. And David said to me, many times, I pray that God would take me before Audrey, or take Audrey before me, because she will have no one to take care of her. And Audrey saw her husband buried, and she was an invalid, and every youngster in the family flooded to their mother's side and kept her. They stayed at the church for months taking care of their mother. And God is sovereign. He turned it from what David wanted and exhibited the love of children to her mother by taking him first, friend. Foolish men allow God everywhere. But let me tell you where he is. He's on the throne. They hate it that you're on the throne. He's exalted, and the hatred of mankind of this absolute sovereignty of God. And yet it is indisputable that it is a fact. Divine sovereignty is not arbitrary. It's not careless. It's not unloving. Divine sovereignty is based in the compassion of a God who so loved the world that he poured out his wrath down to the last farthing upon his son for sinners. And thou hast laid on him. This is the sovereign God. The iniquity of us all, friend. As all we like sheep have gone astray. And yet, he who knew no sin was made sin for me by the Father so that I could be made the righteousness of God in him. Don't get a lopsided view of this, friend. All the attributes of God are beautiful. Sovereignty notwithstanding, he has his way in this world. Who else would you want to have his way? You or God? The devil or God? The devil is on a leash, friend. You know the story. He came to Job and looked after he had wandered to and fro over all the earth, and he saw Job. And he said, well, of course he loves you. You put a hedge around him. He's got it knocked. Got wonderful kids. Look at his acreage. Look at his barns. Look at his flocks. And God said, have at him. Have at him. And you know the story. All of his children died in one day. His fields burned. All of his flocks destroyed. Job got on his face and said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, he did not charge God foolishly. Whatever happens to you is a sovereign act of God, and you can rest in your Father's disposal. Whatever it is, friend, you can rest in it, and you can sleep on its pillow soundly. I have no idea what you will face. I have no idea what I will face, but I do know this. He never does wrong. And we leave the decision of running our lives to his sovereign control. And there's nothing of which the children ought to more earnestly contend for than the fact that their father is sovereign. He is sovereign. And I praise him. He overrules everything. And in the process of the afflictions, he sanctifies them in his sovereignty to our lives. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept thy word.
Yeah.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted.
Yeah.
That I might learn thy statutes. I know that in righteousness you have afflicted me, for you are faithful. God sends misaffliction to your life, and he sends her to mine, and she's the best teacher you'll ever have, and it is God's sovereign love for you that causes that to happen. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye be without chastisement, then you are bastards and not sons.
Yes.
For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth? Not, none of them. If need be, listen to this. It's necessary. Seasonal, though now for a season.
Right.
Thank God it doesn't go all the way most of the time throughout our whole existence. The trial of your faith. It is a trial, friend. And you will be in heaviness like you've never been before. But the purpose of it is that you, like gold, which is purified at 2,000 degrees an ounce, will be found to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. And so, bear with it. Although now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Thereby, there's nothing to which the children should love more than the kingship of God, the throne of God, his right to sit upon the throne. And it is God who sits upon the throne. Listen to Isaiah challenge us, 43:13. Yes, before the day was, I am he. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. And who shall let it or restrain it? Nobody. Nobody. Bless him. What a comfort to my heart, Fred. Can anyone stop him? Can anyone stay him? Can anyone thwart him? Can anyone resist him? Absolutely not. Of course not. What are you doing? As he pleases. And only as he pleases. As I said in the beginning, of him, through him, to him. You cannot make any sense of Romans 11:36 unless you couple it with who hath known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. His ways are unsearchable and past finding out, friend. And Paul uses this summary of the first 11 chapters by writing, he is sovereign. Romans 11:36. There is no wandering molecule, not an atom, that is not but guided by his almighty hand. There's no such thing as the future, except it is God's future. Nothing without exception will happen which fails to accomplish his divine decree. His will is determined. It is sure. It is steadfast. Now, wait a minute. There is no conflict. In the New Testament, there are 1,050 commands, responsibility, and God's sovereignty. What God tells you and I to do, 1,050 times in the New Testament, we are to do. The fool is the one who balances one doctrine apart from the other. You and I are responsible. You know, we're not like the hyper-Calvinist that fell down the stairs one day and said, well, God, I thank you that that's over with, you know, looking at some sovereignty that was fatalism. You're in the place God wants you to be, and he's doing exactly what you are designed to do in you. But at the same time, you're responsible for every action. I don't have to marry the two. They're already married, friend. Responsibility doesn't equal ability. But nevertheless, God in his word says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's a command. Do you think God repents for us? No. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish, says the scripture.
Right.
That's taught as clear as a bell.
Yes, sir.
It is like two tracks which will meet in heaven. On the one hand, God's eternal elective choice, and on the other hand, the responsibility of humankind. It's not God's fault that you and I cut our legs off in Adam so that we can't come to him. The Bible says in John chapter 6, you will not to will to come to me that you might have life. No one will ever come to God. Every person in this world has no awareness of the things that are spiritual. As our brother just pointed out, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. He's not even aware of them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that receive the gospel, lest they should see it in truth. They're not even aware of this. And yet, they also have no ability. They're dead people. You know, go out to the cemetery and take the preacher boys out there and let them preach and say, get up! You know, God commands you to repent. You're supposed to believe. How many people in the grave you think are going to come out of the grave? Zero. But when God's effectual call calls the dead sinner in the grave of his trespasses and sin and quickens him, he'll come out of the tomb. Not before then. We don't have any persuasion ability. Friend, we don't have silver bullets. We got the gospel. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. We just preach the gospel. Tell them that God's holy and that they hang before a Christless eternity by a thread. And picture the bloody, bleeding figure. Show them the middle one. Bleeding, suffering, taking the wrath of God. And say, come empty-handed, take him. Come, receive him. Repent and believe on him. As the scripture says under the authority of God's word, thou shalt be saved. Yes. See, all of these are human responsibilities, but behind the scenes is this eternal handling all matters. Right. God who controls everything. Look at Joseph on October 2005. I sat in the church service and my pastor preached on Joseph's brethren. His final statement, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We went to Peter and Jenny Lavasse's house afterward, and I got a call in the car from my sister-in-law, and she said, Fred, I cannot find your brother. I said, where are you? She said, I'm in Cincinnati. And he was supposed to fly in from Europe and meet me in the airport. The FBI had arrested my brother. And they put him in prison for some drummed up charge as the founder of our company. And my pastor had preached a message, you meant it for evil. And in our hearts, we bowed. You handled it for good.
God's still in control.
And he does. And he will. She never missed a weekend to go and see him. He became the town driver in just a matter of months. And so very rarely was in the prison. But you know, we believe in our hearts, God sovereignly did this. For of him, and to him, and through him are all things. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. She was 18 years old. She dove in the Chesapeake Bay, and she hit her head, and she's been paralyzed from the neck down. Never had the use of her hands all of her life. Joni Erickson Tata. Let me read her testimony concerning the sovereignty of God. Nothing is a surprise to God. Nothing is a setback to God.
Right.
Nothing can thwart his purpose, and nothing is beyond his absolute control. This is a woman in a wheelchair after 50 years talking on how she sees God's overruling hand in her life. Everything that happens to me has been uniquely ordained of God. Sovereignty is a weighty thing, and all it does, it set forth the nature of my God. If God is not sovereign, says Joni, then he is not God.
Yeah.
And we might as well rip the page out that says, and we know that everything works together for our good because he has called us according to his purpose. Simply, he does as he pleases. Let us pray.